So Hare Krishna, our very great fortune once again to hear His Holiness Bhakti Brihad Bhagavat Swami Maharaj on the second half of day 3 final session on a Nam Amrit course seminar in Shridham Mayapur on 31st of October 2013. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Abhida Chaitanya Prabhu was mentioning about the chairs in the GVC meeting room, which we're going to occupy tomorrow for most of the day. For 64 rounds of japa. And they have nice chairs to sit on during the meetings, which we can also use. It's blue in color. It's cushioned chairs, like office chairs. Mm-hmm. So, the chairs usually, if you sit on them, and if you tilt too much backwards, you may fall over. It's the nature of the chair. So, if you sit on a particular chair, especially the blue ones which are cushioned, office type chairs, tomorrow, do not lean too backwards. And that's good for chanting also, that if you sit more upright on the chair, if you lean too backwards, you may land up on the ground like this. So, just be careful when you use those chairs. Of course, there's also plastic chairs like these that are also available if you're more comfortable in them. That's also there. All right, we're coming to a session. We may finish well before 2 o'clock on this session. I've given you the notes ahead of time. It's session 8, the notes about encouraging words. So it's also on the screen. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchal Leela, chapter 20. Starts with text number 20. Yehi rupela ila nama Krishna prema upajaya Tahara lakshana suna swarupa ramaraya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, hear from me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna. So these are the exact verses in terms of chanting. It's coming up directly from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And that famous verse in text 21, good the waters come from this side. Tell him. Let's see if he knows how to do it without spilling the water on the floor. Can one of our young and strong men help him? He may need some assistance. Go ahead. He has to topple that into that thing. And you have to hold the bottom dispenser so it doesn't move. You hold the bottom dispenser, let him topple it. Who are you doing that? Okay, great. I saw several of you wanted to drink some water, so you can go ahead now. If you're thirsty, you can go take some water. Don't feel shy. Go ahead. So we have this particular famous verse, text 21 here. Trinadapi Sune Chena Tarorivasahisuna Amanena Manadena Ketaniya Sadhani. One who thinks himself lower than the grass. You remember we said entering the heart in chanting and feeling in a fallen state? We're coming to this point. Who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Now, for this verse has a particular meaning in relation to chanting. So let's go to the next verses that expand on this verse, text 22. Uttama asa apanake mane trinadama duhi prakare sahisnuta kara vrikshasama. These are the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which refers to the previous verse. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground, and like a tree, he tolerates everything in two ways. So in this particular verse, here, he doesn't know he is exalted, but he feels himself lower than the grass. He doesn't know he is tolerating, because it is natural for him to do so. Getting the point? There's no effort that he puts in tolerating. I must tolerate now. He doesn't do that. It's natural for him to do. It's part of his nature to tolerate. And he doesn't know he's tolerating if it's part of your nature. It's a very elevated stage. Let me complete. Let me take questions. And text 23. Vrikshayena katilera kichuna bolaya Sukha samay leha kare pani na magaya. When a tree is cut down, it does not protest. And even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. So what does this mean? It means that if somebody harms you, you do not react. Like that. And even if you are dying, you do not care to live. Even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water. Text 24. Yehi magaya tara deya apanadana dharma vrishti sae anera karaye rakshana. The tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever else it possesses to anyone and everyone. It tolerates scorching heat and torrents of rain, yet it still gives shelter to others. In other words, even the persons who are harming you, you are still their well-wishers. You do not see anyone as an enemy. Even if somebody sees you as enemy, you're still their well-wisher, tolerating and giving shelter to others. Text 25. Okay, let's get back to that text that actually expands into the further text after text 24. This one. Trinada Pesami Chena Tarori Vasa Hispana Amadena Manadena Kitanya Sadahari. Now, in the material world, there are people, without being a devotee, they consider themselves lower than the grass and they are more tolerant than the tree. And they don't expect all honor for themselves but give all respect to others. There are people in the material world. Some names come to mind now, to my consciousness. One is Mother Teresa, a tolerant person. He gives all respect to others. And feels lonely. And you get Gandhi himself, he had some qualities to this effect. And then there's a living example, but yes, on his last days, his name is Nelson Mandela. In other words, he made his own enemies part of the government. When he became into power, he also gave them. Didn't see enemies in that sense. So, Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, Gandhi in India, like that. And these people, they don't chant Hare Krishna. But at the same time, they are not ordinary human beings. They have some extraordinary ability, in their lives and what they have achieved for humanity at large, like that. But here it says that if you consider yourself lower than the blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, don't expect any personal honor and give honor to others, then you can very easily always chant the holy name of God. But there are persons who have these qualities but do not very easily always chant. They are not devotees, even in the material world. They have exalted qualities. So what does this actually mean for us in respect of the thought of the verses thereafter which I have just read to verse number 24? Which expands on this verse. What does it mean? It means that if somebody tramples you, lower than the blade of grass, if somebody tramples you, whether it's literally or pushing you down, subtly or diplomatically or politically pushing you down, if somebody tramples you, and if somebody is not tolerating you, in other words, one who is more tolerant than a tree means somebody is not tolerating to you, but you have to tolerate. Somebody is not tolerating you, but you have to tolerate. Right? See? In that consciousness. And who does not expect any personal honor. In other words, if somebody is like ill fame, somebody is giving you a bad reputation, and things like that. In that state of consciousness, you do not hit back. If somebody is trampling you, if somebody is not tolerating you, giving you a lot of trouble, like that, and somebody is disrespecting you like anything, like that, do you have the potency in that state of consciousness and that situation, do you have the potency to simply pick up your bead bag and chant Hare Krishna? That's the verse. To simply pick up your bead bag and chant Hare Krishna in the most provoking situation. So that's what it means. The material world is full of anxiety and full of troubles. And even sometimes in the association of devotees there will be difficulties. But Krishna, in the form of the holy name, will never let you down. But Krishna himself may let you down. But that's his higher arrangement if he lets you down. But the holy name will never let you down. Because you have it easily at your disposal. You simply pick up your bead bag and start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In those most provoking situations, most difficult times, most challenging times that you go through, in terms of this verse that you go through, do you have the courage and the strength and the needed potency to simply pick up your beeping and chant Hare Krishna and trying your best to hear. This is the verse. That's what it actually means. In order to do that, we come to text number 25. We finished 22, 23, 24, and now 25. For you to do that, you fit this description in 25. Uttama hana vaishnava abe niravimana jive samana divajani krishna adhisthana. Although a Vaishnava is the topmost, is the most exalted person, he is priceless and gives all respect to everyone, including an enemy, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. And that means knowing everyone to be a potential devotee of Krishna, even if it's a non-devotee. Knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. So we give up all pride simply by picking our beat bag in the most challenging, in the most provoking circumstances, most difficult circumstances. We can simply do that and be situated well in Krishna consciousness in relation to the holy name, being non-different from Krishna. In text 26, Mahaprabhu says, Ehi mata amayehi Krishna namalaya Shri Krishna charametana prema upajaya. If one chants the holy name of Lord Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet. Such a wonderful result, awakening of his dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet. And then Krishna's Kaviraj speaks. Kahite kahite prabhura dainya badhilam Sudha Bhakti Krishna Tasi Magita Lagila. As Lord Chaitanya spoke in this way, his humility increased. And he began praying to Krishna that he could discharge pure devotional service. He's already discharging pure devotional service, but he doesn't know it, and he's praying for pure devotional service. Like Lord Chaitanya. So someone who is in pure devotional service, they do not know. So therefore they pray for pure devotional service. It's like that. And then, the symptom of that. Premara sambhava yaha premara sambandha Sehi mana krishna mora nahi prema ganda. Whenever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, its natural symptom is that the devotee does not think himself a devotee. Instead, he always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. That's from the personal perspective of the devotee. But it's not from the perspective of other devotees who is seeing that devotee. That's different. Okay? So from a personal perspective, one feels devoid of love of Krishna. At the same time, one does not know that one is full of love for Krishna. Others can see that, but from a personal perspective, you cannot. So these are beautiful verses in relation to the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Now, about six chanting 64 rounds from Prabhupada. A devotee, he says, Srila Prabhupada, how can the position be reconciled if in Krishna consciousness one of the two, the husband and the wife, wants to enjoy sense gratification, but the other does not? Should there be separation then? Prabhupada, no. They should be trained up. Sense enjoyment means not advanced in Krishna consciousness. As soon as one is advancing in Krishna consciousness, his sense enjoying spirit will be reduced. That is the test. Bhakti, Parashara, Bhava, Virakti, Anyatracha. The test is that how you are advancing your Krishna consciousness is the proportionate diminishing of sense enjoyment. Especially with eating, sleeping, reading, and speaking. That is the test. Just like cure of the disease means diminishing the fever, temperature, that is the test. Devotee, what if that fever is not being diminished? Prabhupada. Then you should try to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Instead of 16 rounds, 64 rounds. That is the way. 16 rounds is the minimum. Otherwise, Haridas Thakur was 300,000. So you have to increase. You have to increase. We are speaking about a devotee who was in household life. For brahmacharis and sannyasis, it is a harinama and a kirtan. And they should always chant. This is the household life. Prabhupada said, that is the only remedy. If one has got determination, he will make progress without any trouble. That determination is very difficult. That determination, I must be Krishna conscious fully. That determination, Vritta Vrata. So that determination comes by chanting 64 rounds. So we should look forward to doing it tomorrow. Next. Prabhupada in different excerpts. Yes, it is very good if you can chant 64 rounds. This is very nice if you can do it. He knew it wasn't easy, but we prepared you for the last 3 days so that it becomes easy and you look forward to it. Then Prabhupada said, I shall advise you again to chant always, increasing the counting, namely, 16 rounds is generally prescribed. But for the time being, you can stop all other activities that increase the chanting to 64 rounds. So at least for the time being, for one day tomorrow, we're doing it. You can stop all other activities. Then that is the instruction given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sisastakam 3. Kirtaniya Sadahari. The holy name of the Lord should be chanted 24 hours daily. Therefore, in this Krishna consciousness movement, we request the devotees to chant at least 16 rounds on their beats daily. Actually, one has to chant 24 hours daily, just like Haridas Thakur, who was chanting the Hare Krishna mantra 300,000 times daily. Indeed, he had no other business. Okay, so let's do the last excerpt and we'll take some questions. 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, 1 lakh, lakshapati, tomorrow everyone becomes a lakshapati or lakshapatni. Okay. The Krishna consciousness movement prescribes 16 rounds daily because people in the Western countries cannot concentrate for long periods while chanting on beats. Therefore, the minimum number of rounds is prescribed. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that unless one chants at least 64 rounds of japa, 100,000 names, he is considered fallen, patita. According to his calculation, practically every one of us is fallen. But because we are trying to serve the Supreme Lord with all seriousness and without duplicity, we can expect the mercy of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is famous as Patita Pavan, the deliverer of the fallen, purport, Nectar of Instruction, text 5. So here, Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, that if you do not chant 64 rounds, you are considered fallen. Yes. If we do not chant 64 rounds, we are fallen. But if we do chant 64 rounds, we will feel fallen. See the difference? See the difference? If you chant 64 rounds, you are If you don't chant 64 rounds, you are fallen. But if you do chant 64 rounds, you will feel fallen. And that's the most fertile ground to receive Krishna's mercy. Questions? You also have your hand up. I spoke about the mandala, yes, in the previous session. If you want to apply it, it can help, yes. The hearing the mantra is not dependent on the mandala. But if you apply the mandala, it will help not to listen to the mind. Open and close each door. Open and close the door on bodily fatigue. Enter environment. Open and close the door on environment, the sense objects. And enter body itself and its senses. Open and close the door on the body itself and senses, especially eating. And then enter into the mind in chanting. And open and close the door on the mind directly. And enter the heart in chanting.
So, it helps me if I know in what stage I am.
It helps to open and close the door. Sometimes you can open and close two doors at one time and enter into the third stage. Some devotees, they don't need to open and close any doors. They can immediately enter the heart in chanting in the first and even second or third round. Because they have been trained before in 64 rounds plus. So when they chant 64 rounds after chanting so many 64 rounds before, immediately can sit down and enter the heart in chanting. So you can apply the exercise. At the same time, you don't need to apply it when you easily open and close those doors. Like for example, we said, you should choose your sacred space, you should write it down. So you have to prepare the sacred space, you have to tell the family members, you have to tell other devotees and friends, do not disturb me, this is my time and appointment with Krishna for the next two and a half hours, I don't want any disturbance. Like that. So you're preparing, you're opening and closing those doors. But once you're in your sacred space, bodily fatigue may attack you. You have to open and close the door on bodily fatigue. The environment is conducive already, no problem. Like that. Now you don't feel tired. The body feels tired. Sometimes we get it, it's like we have to remind ourselves constantly of this basic teaching of Prabhupada. You are not the body, but you are the spirit soul. Similarly, you are not the subtle body, which includes the mind. You are not the mind. We have to constantly remind ourselves. But we are carrying the body. And the body belongs to Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to the disciplic succession. So we have to take care of this body at the same time. In that sense. Is it okay for now? The hand up here? Yes. Now, that's a personal realization for me. It's not easy to be a devotee, but still we try. Go ahead.
Prabhupada, sometimes mentioned that this chanting is a prime for regular Krishna engage in mantra service to Krishna and go back to Godhead.
Yes. In other words, Prabhupada has given guarantee. Prabhupada has given guarantee. Now, A very important point he's making. In some slide that we have played on here in previous sessions, Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna, minimum six, at least, in that particular one he said at least 16 rounds, not minimum either. Chant at least 16 rounds, follow the four regular principles. Of course we should try to chant without offenses, like that. You know, engage in some service. But just by chanting Hare Krishna at least 16 rounds and following the four principles, Prabhupada says you can go back home back to Godhead. Now the interesting thing, I mean I looked and looked and looked, you know, in Prabhupada's letters and Prabhupada's instructions, but I couldn't find it. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yam yam bhakti-smaram bhavam and so forth, you know. Krishna says that, you know, whatever state you remember at the time of leaving this body, to that state you will attain without fail in the next life. So therefore you have to remember Krishna at the time of death to actually go back to Godhead. Like that. So now, Prabhupada was asked a question by one disciple. The disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, what if I do not remember Krishna at the time of death? I'm doing everything. Prabhupada said, what did I ask you to do? And Prabhupada said this many times, even in the letter. So the disciple said, Prabhupada, you're asked to chant at least 16 rounds daily, follow the four regulatory principles, you know, and engage in practical service in the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. Different things, Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada said, yes. And the disciple insisted, what, Srila Prabhupada, I'm chanting 16 rounds minimum daily, I'm following the regulative principles, I'm engaging in practical service, I'm engaging in spreading the mission of Krishna consciousness. And what if still at the time of death I do not remember Krishna? Like, then Prabhupada asked the disciple, when did I ever tell you to remember Krishna at the time of death? What did I tell you to do? Tell me, what did I tell you to do? So again, the disciple repeated. And he repeated in so many of his letters. Follow the four regulative principles, chant minimum 16 rounds, engage in some practical service for the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, and you'll go back to God. I didn't tell you to remember Krishna at the time of death. Just do that. So the disciple still insisted, Prabhupada, what's going to happen to me at the time of death? Prabhupada said, that is not your responsibility, that is mine. Where can you find such an acharya? Where can you find such a magnanimous person? Even Mahaprabhu doesn't say that. So Mahaprabhu is namo mahavadanyaya. Prabhupada is namo maha maha vadanyaya. There's no such personality. In the history of the previous acharyas, in the history of the Gaudiya Math, no such personality. And this is the fact, and I'll show you slides on it. And it has been proven. It has been proven. I was in Vrindavan. I was staying in Vrindavan at one time, and one disciple of Prabhupada came to leave his body. His name was Buddhimanta Prabhu. This is in the mid-90s. Buddhimanta Prabhu in Lilamrita you'll read. He was the first person who stumbled onto big book distribution. You know? He's famous. And he subsequently, he left Krishna consciousness. He wasn't practicing, he was with his non-devotee friends. From America, but he was with his non-devotee friends in England. And suddenly he got news, cancer. You will not survive within 3 months. You'll have to leave this body. But his friends knew that he was connected to the Hare Krishna, you know, in his past life, so to speak. So they contacted the temple. They said, look, our friend is going to die. We don't know what to do, but we know you're his friends from previous time. Come and help him. And the devotees from England, they meet, oh, Buddhimanta, yes, we know him. They immediately brought him to Vrindavan, the devotees, and after 3 months he left. Cancer. So what to speak of a devotee who actually does not leave and continue the process? He is definitely going. We are talking about devotees who practice Krishna consciousness and left the practices. But that service that they performed at the Founder Acharya is never forgotten by Srila Prabhupada. So through Srila Prabhupada's mercy and through his followers, they get the devotee back. Even if he leaves. In other words, even if a devotee leaves Prabhupada, Prabhupada will not leave you. He'll get you back to go back to Godhead even in the very life. Many devotees have gone back to Godhead. Such a wonderful acharya. We are very, actually extremely fortunate to be in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is a Prabhupada founder. Extremely fortunate. That link for the founder, extremely fortunate. So the Lord, one time one devotee told me that the similar thing was going on with Srila Prabhupada. And the devotee said, but Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, that unless you remember him at the time of death, you will not come back to him. This is a fact. There's so many verses in the 8th chapter. And then Prabhupada, in a very firm and entrenched and embedded in the mood of Mahaprabhu's magnanimity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but Krishna has conditions how you come to him in Bhagavad Gita. But Mahaprabhu says no conditions, come as you are. Come as you are, no conditions. With Krishna, you first have to surrender, then am tvam sarva papadhi. First sarva dhamam parichya, mame kam saranam. Then am tvam sarva papadhi. Moksha yasya vimansa. That means, then only I remove your sinful reaction. But with Mahaprabhu, same Krishna, come as you are. Come as you are. You do not need to surrender, just come as you are. But just chant the holy name. So this thing was going on with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said something to the effect this devotee was relating. Prabhupada said something, oh, Krishna may say, but I am saying this. Just see, he controls Krishna. Prabhupada controls Krishna. That is the magnanimity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is fully manifest in the consciousness, you know, of Srila Prabhupada. We are very fortunate, most fortunate. Is that okay? Other questions?
Looks like only practicing chanting with this outside of the bag,
In the association of devotees, it doesn't matter. But in the association of non-devotees, you should have your beatback. It is your Prabhupada chanting without feedback, but that's fine. But generally it is common practice to chant with the feedback. Common practice. What is it? What do you mean? It happens sometimes, but you know, it's not a habit that you chant. You chant your rounds without the beatback. Generally we have a beatback. We follow the previous acharyas. Like Prabhupada, he's chanting like that, but he does it sometimes. How often? Sometimes. This particular picture that he's chanting without the beatback, it's not his own beat. He's chanting for initiation. You know, somebody is getting initiated, he's chanting on their beats. But it's not like a problem if it sometimes happens. Nothing will happen. You'll still so hear the holy name. If the there's no real difference, but generally we keep our japa mala hidden in a sense. You know, it's private, it's personal, it's confidential, so therefore it's in the bead bag. But for the sake of preaching to non-devotees, they may ask you, is something wrong with your hand? You got your hand in something. No, this is my bead. So then you take out the bead and then you speak about chanting. You're preaching. You can do that also. But in general sense we use bead bag, but sometimes if you don't use, not all the time, but sometimes. It's not a fault. It's not an issue. Mm-hmm. Well, if you can mend the old beads that you got at the time of initiation, that's better. If you cannot, then you have to approach the person who chanted on it. Yes, that's fine. Provided there's 108 beads.
Yes.
Yes. Provided there's 108 beads and you're chanting 108 times each round. All right, other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter to one disciple that your beads, your japa beads and your chanting are your connection with Krishna. It means through the disciplines of Krishna. So it's important to chant on the beads. Of course, if there's no beads available, like for example, it's not a question of the type of beads. Since ISKCON has become developed in a worldwide movement, then we encourage people to chant on Tulasi beads. It's quoted, you know? Tulasi, touching Tulasi wood, like that. But in the early days, like for example, if you go to like say, Brahmananda Prabhu, and when he was initiated, you know, they made the beads out of some discarded wood in the lumber yard. No tulsi was there. So they fashioned their own beads, you know, drilled holes in them and put some nylon thread through it, something like that. And they brought it to Prabhupada and Prabhupada chanted on those beads and he gave it for initiation. Now, you go to Brahmananda Prabhu and you tell him, look, I'll go down to Lloyd Bazaar in Vrindavan. I'll get the best, biggest tulsi beads for you. Can you give me those beads? They're not tulsi, but can you give me those beads? And on top of that, I'll give you $20,000. Will you part with that? Why? Because they proper chanted on those beads for him at the time of initiation, although they are not tulsi. So the important point is to chant on the beads, even if it's not tulasi, and hear the chanting. But ideally, since our movement has progressed and we have come to know of the importance of tulsi and tulasi beads for chanting, and that's more available as the movement has expanded and progressed. Okay? Other questions? Concerning one verse, which one number?
I was wondering what is the humility of being self-destructive.
He's asking what is the difference between humility and being self-destructive. Self-destructive.
Like breaking yourself down.
It's very low of your foot.
No.
In a way that actually doesn't make you regretful.
No, no. When I took that verse to Nana Krishna in Chennai and like explained it in relation to devotees, not in relation to non-devotees. Non-devotees also have these qualities. In relation to devotees, that in the most provoking, in the most challenging, in the most difficult circumstances, you know, you have the potency to pick up your bead bag and chant Hare Krishna. Getting the point? But we do not chant Hare Krishna to become humble. Chanting Hare Krishna is humility itself. The act and the action of actually chanting is humility. It is not a result of chanting. The chanting itself is humility. Is that okay? In other words, if you really want to be humble, take your bead bag and chant Hare Krishna. That's humility. Right. And that's not for exposure. You're not chanting that to show people you're humble. You actually want to chant. That's humility. Is that all right? Yes.
If someone blasphemes you,
you do not defend yourself because you take it in the spirit, I deserve this. I deserve, because you cannot correct the other person, they are blaspheming you. But you take it in the spirit, I deserve this, and walk away and chant Hare Krishna. It's not that easy. It's not that easy. But if you walk away, do not remember the blasphemy of the person. Just take your bead bag and chant. It's easier. But if somebody else, a third person, sees that somebody is blaspheming you, they can do something. That's a little different. But for ourselves, we give up the defending propensity. It is an animal propensity. It's an animal to defend yourself. But of course, we have to defend at times. Like if somebody is attacking the deities, we defend. If somebody is attacking you, you defend in a way because you want to use the body in Krishna's service. You know, things like that. But generally a devotee does not defend if he's being blasted. He accepts it, well, maybe I'm like that. I deserve this. Is that all right? Because what happens is, why should we do that? Because if you defend yourself, the other person will blaspheme more. You will blaspheme more. So in order to avoid not expanding or making the person blaspheme more, you walk away. That will put the person more in trouble if they blaspheme more. Right. So it's a type of compassion indirectly that you walk away so the person doesn't blaspheme more. Is that all right? Okay. Yes. It's the next verse. You're saying in text 22, in text 22 it says it in two ways, and in text 23 it says when a tree is cut down it does not protest, and even when drying up it does not ask for water. That's two ways. And again it talks about the tree in text 24. It expands, in those two ways. So what's the question? Okay, when you are doing book distribution, you should expect that the non-devotees may all not be favorable, right? So they may blaspheme you, they may insult you, but you do not protest, you just move to our next customer. In other words, don't waste time in somebody who is not favorable, just go to somebody and eventually you will find that someone is favorable. And that, if you're giving the example of book distribution. But this is in relationship to the association of devotees, form. It's within it. Because in one sense, in a broad sense, we do not take the association of non-devotees because it will increase the bodily conception of life. So this is for the association of devotees. If the association of devotees happens, it reduces the bodily conception of life if you tolerate in these two ways. But not with the association of non-devotees in terms of preaching. Right. You will find in these Sisastakam verses, in the 8 verses, they are very exalted verses by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it actually is in relation to the association of devotees, mainly. Right. All of the verses. In relation to the association of devotees. Only when the non-devotee you preach to them, when they come to the association of devotees, then they get to know what these 8 verses are. Right. And that principal verse is expanded upon here. Trinadipis Neche verse. Is that alright, Anna? Alright, we can conclude earlier today. We went a little late yesterday just to cover. We'll finish earlier today, 30 minutes early. To remind you that tomorrow, if you can wake up earlier than 4:30 in the morning and try to chant before Mangalati on your own, in your rooms, wherever you stay, like that. And then during japa time, we'll chant normally wherever we chant in the temple room, whichever place we chant here, during japa time, and then Deity Darshan, if you're going for class, you can come later, after breakfast. But if you're not going for class, then the GBC meeting room will be open for all of us to chant together from 8 o'clock in the morning. And then we will complete our chanting, which includes your breakfast and lunch in between. Together we'll complete. You can continue to chant thereafter also by 4:30 in the afternoon. And then we will meet for that brief session, 9, in that same GBC room. And the next day, which is our 5th day, Saturday, which is the 2nd of November, we'll meet here again, normally, at 10:30 in the morning till 2, for the last 3 sessions. That's an important day to follow up on our previous day's activities. Okay, you have your hand up. Tell us. Why do we chant? I've heard different explanations from different places. But it is an auspicious number in relation to 108 Upanishads. Or 108 principal gopis, as they say. There's 108 principal gopis of Krishna. The decorating. This is apart from Radharani. This is only the principal gopis. But it's not the figure that's important, really. It's the continuous chanting that's more important. And it's not like 16 rounds and only 8 beads. What's important is one round is considered 108 beads. But you can chant much more than that. tenth Ketaniya Sada. It's not restricted to this number, six. Ketaniya Sada. All right, thank you very much. Yes? For tomorrow? For you, it's 64 plus 16. It's a special blessing. Special blessing. And for everyone else, your minimum 16 vows is included in the 64. So minimum 16 rounds is 60. Minimum 16 rounds is 17 rounds. At least 17. So it comes to 65 rounds. One more. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anartha Kuri Vaishna Grand ki jai. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki jai. Nitai Go Premanande.